There's a lot of wisdom in the book of Job. A lot of things in the book of Job. In fact, Job 26 verse 7 tells us some things about outer space. Can you believe that? The book of Job, it was written about 3,500 years ago. About the same time Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Job wrote that portion of Scripture as well. But one of the things that I like is I like to teach people that the Bible is a book that men could not have written. There are things in the Bible that men could not write. Absolutely, there was no way for Job to know that the earth hung on nothing. But he writes about it in Job 26, verse 7. He goes on to say that, talking about the empty place in outer space too. The empty place in the sides of the north and those kind of things like that. And how would Job know those kind of things? There's only one way. God gave him the wisdom that he had. And that, by the way, that empty place is talking about the what you and I would call the black hole in outer space. Interesting. But here in this particular passage, what I want to focus on is the very first verse. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. In fact, I want us to do something I used to do as a boy, and most churches can't do it anymore. We're going to read this verse together. All right. Job 31, verse 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? Let's read that again. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? All right. Amen. I like the fact that we got the same book. We can stay there even if the preacher can't read, amen? But the truth is, hey, there's a lesson here for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we ask you to do something mighty in our midst and teach us from your book. Lord, there are some things that you want to keep our eyes from. And Lord, we ask you to do that. We ask you to teach us the value of keeping our eyes on the right things and not on the wrong things. Lord, keep the preacher out of your way and in your will, and let the Holy Spirit, the real preacher, speak clearly and unhindered tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. As we look at this particular passage, what I want you to understand is Job was wise enough. One of the things that we think about Job is that he was persecuted and he had a struggle, and God did something about him and to him and allowed the devil to come against him in a tough, tough way. And yet Job stayed faithful. He didn't falsely accuse God. He didn't understand the attack. He didn't understand what was going on. But one of the things that made Job the man of God that he was right here in verse 1. He made a covenant with his eyes. He was going to keep his eyes on the right things. And I want you to know, you and I can make a covenant with our eyes. If we keep our eyes on the right things, guess what? It'll keep us from a lot of trouble. What would have happened if Peter, walking on the water, had kept his eyes on Jesus instead of on the storm? Right. He never would have sunk. He would have. Hey, that's where we need to be. If you don't want to be sunk, you keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
There's a lot of things in the Bible that teach us that the most important thing for us, one of the most important things is to keep our eyes focused on the Lord.
Amen.
I see, I hear so much about how many preachers are going the wrong way and how they get their eyes off of the Lord. And what I want us to realize, it's an epidemic of preachers that are getting caught in pornography. It's an epidemic of people getting caught with child pornography. And I want you to understand, that's sick stuff. But the devil will trick you and teach you and pull you in the wrong direction if you don't keep your eyes and don't make a covenant with your eyes. And we as Christians have to get to a point where we have blinders on.
Amen.
Because these dangerous things out here, and I want you to understand, the devil has the world set up to trick us and to trap us. He's got his toys and trinkets all sitting there dangling in front of us. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to use the Bible again. We're going to go all over the Bible. There's a number of illustrations we want to focus on. And here in 1 John chapter 2, we see a verse here that I want to bring out. Actually, a couple verses. But start with verse 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." I want you to start there. How on earth could you love the world if you didn't see the things that are in the world? If you didn't get your eyes focused on those wrong things, how on earth would you fall in love with it? One of the things that, and I encourage these children, when they get to a point where time comes and God's got on, goes to give them a mate, the first thing they need to do is to set their eyes on the right kind of mate. Be real picky. Make sure that you set your eyes on somebody that is godly, that loves Jesus as much or more than you do. And if you do that, I guarantee you, you're going to be blessed.
Amen.
But if you don't, you'll regret it.
That's right.
Regret it severely. And one of the things we see here, but it says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. How do we overcome the distractions of this world? We see it all the time when people are driving. I've got a front row seat of a lot of these morons out there that are sitting there with their phone. They think they're going straight, and they're wavering back and forth, run over the curb, go out in the grass, and it's crazy. Guess what? The devil will try to do the same thing to you and I.
That's right.
With the things this world provides. And he's gotten good at it over the years, over the centuries. He knows what to distract people. He doesn't have any new toys. He doesn't have any new tricks. The old ones are working just fine. And people are following these crazy things. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. You say, well, it's not really that important, is it, preacher? Yeah. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives us some indications on how important it is. Look at verse 28. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Now I'm going to stop there a minute. First off, I absolutely agree with this verse, but I also believe that the Lord holds the women accountable too for the way they dress. Okay? I believe that that's important too, and they're not guiltless if they dress provocatively to a point where they're trying to get a man's attention. I will tell you, it's hard to go in the grocery store anymore and just hide your eyes. I see it on the bus, people getting on the bus, and I've got to, you know, we had a wedding in Kansas City. After church, And we had some of those women come in that were bridesmaids for the wedding. And I'm going to tell you, it was not not pretty. And it was bad. And you say, what, preacher? Well, it was a lot of cleavage. Let's put it that way. We'll just leave it at that. And it was just definitely, definitely inappropriate for church. But I want you to understand, God's not holding the women guiltless when it comes to the way they dress. In fact, a lot of them get attention, more attention than they want sometimes. Because if they dress right, a lot of them won't get attacked. A lot of them get attacked because the way they dress. I'm not saying that that's right for them to be attacked, but I'm saying a lot of times they bring it on themselves. And they're getting the wrong attention from the wrong people. But Jesus is saying what? He said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. But where did the sin come from for the man? The eyes. I've heard it said, that, and I believe that's proper. There are times when you see something and you can't help it. You happen to see it. That's just absolutely looking. God doesn't hold you accountable for that. But if you look back, or if you stare, that's when you start going into the lust area. That's what happens. And what we need to do as Christians is to realize we need those blinders, those spiritual blinders, to keep our eyes on Jesus, to look in the right direction, to make that covenant with our eyes, because this world is geared to ruin our lives.
Right.
I'm going to give you three people in the Bible that paid a high cost. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And it all started with the eyes. All started with the eyes. I think you know where I'm going to go with this. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. But we're going to talk about Eve. Eve got her eyes on, number one, the forbidden fruit. God had warned them, told them, to avoid that fruit at all costs. They only had one rule. Kids, how would you like to live in a house that only had one rule? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? How about if we only had one commandment? I want to tell you how easy life would be if we just, you can eat anything you want, you just can't eat off of that tree. Boy, how nice life would be. I mean, there are so many commandments that the Bible's trying to keep us from harm. Why has that happened? Because Eve didn't keep her eyes on the right thing. What'd she look at? Look at verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, how'd she find out that it was to make one wise? The serpent had lied to her. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Where did it start? With the eyes. What would have happened if Eve and Adam had been as smart as Job was and made a covenant with their eyes? What happens to you and I if we don't? We don't know. We know what happened to Eve. They brought all the plagues and the sin and the curses on this planet and on all of us because of that one sin. They were kicked out of the garden, the most glorious place. We can't even imagine how nice it was. Wouldn't need any air conditioning because the temperature was perfect. All the food you want. Just stay away from that stinking tree. But no, and how did it happen? She set her eyes on it. That's the first step. If she set her eyes on it, And then what happened? She got to thinking about what the devil told her, the serpent told her. God doesn't want you to be smart like him. I want you to understand, God's trying to protect us from things. If we make a covenant with our eyes, God will protect us. It warns us, the Bible warns us about looking the wrong direction. Here we see where Eve got caught up by looking at the forbidden fruit. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7 talks about a story there in the book of Joshua about Jericho. And it had to do with a man named Achan. So the first point was the forbidden fruit. The second point is the forbidden finances. Now, God does not want us to be poor. But I want you to understand, there are certain financial gains that you would rather not have. There are things that God does not want us to do. Hey, you could probably be rich if you sold drugs. You could probably be rich if you could get away with robbing a bank. Hey, but God doesn't want us to do things like that. He wants us to do things honest and upright and be the kind of Christians we need to be the citizens we need to be. Amen. But there are ways to take and gain. I've heard of people, these TV evangelists say, send me your money and I guarantee you God will multiply it 100 times over. It'll multiply in his bank account, but it's not going to multiply to you. But here, let's look at what it says here in starting with verse 20 in Joshua chapter 7. And it says, and this is what happened. Achan's testifying about what happened. He said, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. How did it start? He started looking. Looked at the wrong things. I want you to understand, Achan's family died. Just like the people that threw Daniel in the tricked Darius to throw Daniel in the lion's den. When Daniel came out alive, guess who went in the lion's den and became the meal for the lions? The family of the people, not just the people that tricked the king, but their families went in. But this right here shows us how dangerous it is to get our eyes on the wrong things again. Because Achan didn't look at forbidden fruit. He looked at forbidden finances. He saw some special, hey, I can buy that new car I want. I can buy this new house I want. I can go on a vacation I want. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to tell you something. You'd rather not. You don't want to take things that aren't yours. Because if you go back to Joshua chapter 6, God says everything in Jericho is mine. So he didn't steal from the people in Jericho. He stole from the Lord. And why? Because he started looking. Looking at the wrong thing. I want you to know that if you make that covenant with your eyes, one of the things that will help us is the fact that we will break that cycle. And when we look at something that we shouldn't look at, when we happen to glance that way, we'll say, I can't do that. I'm going to look this way. I'm going to look that way. I'm going to go the other way. But whatever happens, we have to get away from looking at the wrong things.
Amen.
It's hard. Because the devil's got everything trying to, hey, come over here. Hey, I want you, just like we were out by the sign, out with the signs this afternoon, trying to get people's attention about the dangers and the evils of abortion. One of the things that we want to understand is the devil's got people out there that are doing that kind of stuff, trying to get our attention to go the wrong way. He's absolutely a scoundrel and a deviant, because he wants to ruin you. He wants to ruin me. And if we don't get a covenant with our eyes, it will end up destroying us. That's what happens with so many people. One more place. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And this is a lesson several different ways. And you know, probably know what where I'm going with this. This is David and Bathsheba. Let's read here, starting with verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah." But look at this last statement here in that verse 1. "But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house." What happened? Well, the first thing that David did wrong was he wasn't where he was supposed to be.
That's right.
There's a lot of lessons in this passage right here, but the first one is, if you're where you're supposed to be, you cannot be where you're not supposed to be. That's pretty easy, okay? And if you're where you're supposed to be, when we were in college, one of the things that Dr. Stringer always drilled in us, be where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do. He said that was the only two rules that we had. Be where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do. David, had he been where he was supposed to be with the army, he wouldn't have been there that night to see Bathsheba. And even if he had not gone, that was forbidden flesh. That's number 3. You got forbidden fruit, you got forbidden finances, you got forbidden flesh. I want you to know that David messed up by, first, like I said, he wasn't where he was supposed to be, but then once he looked, he lusted. And when you lust, that's already going the wrong way. You've gone too far in God's eyes, and that's where covetousness starts. That's where you start thinking about stealing and taking something you shouldn't have and all these things. You've got to make sure that you break that cycle.
Amen.
Or it will break us. It's easy to get online, and there are times when you look, you're doing a search, and there are times when the wrong kind of pictures come up. And I'm going to tell you, I click it out as quick as I can, and I try to remember that I don't want to go to that site. Even if it's something that's a good site, but it's got some advertisement that is not good, I won't go there. We've got to be careful. We've got to make that covenant with our eyes, because as Christians, people are watching us. And if you mess up, I guarantee you, your family's going to remember it. And what happened to Achan's family? They paid a price for Achan messing up too. What happens to my family? What happens to Bible Baptist Church if I don't set a covenant and make a covenant with my eyes? And if I go into those wrong places, I want you to know that's one of the things that I have to watch out for. This nasty world is geared to destroy us. And one of my favorite verses, I guess if my, I would say my life verse is Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. That verse right there has helped me so much to keep myself straight and to try to keep myself from those dangerous situations and going into areas where I shouldn't go. And a lot of it had to do with this verse right here that we started off with, and that's Job chapter 31 verse 1. I made a covenant with my eyes. I didn't go into this direction as a kid. I was in my 40s. My wife and I, it was quite a change for us to go into the ministry. She had a good job with Publix. I had a good job with IMC. And we could be a lot better off financially had we stayed with our respective companies and not gone into the ministry. But I also got to seeing this nasty world going the wrong way. And I got to seeing so many churches and so many people getting sucked in with the wickedness and the worldliness. And she and I prayed about it. And I told her, I said, I feel like the Lord wants me to go to Bible college. 26 years in the phosphate industry. I had, at that point, up to that point, I had planned on staying till I was 62. I'd have 42 years there. I'd had a nice retirement. But I got a better one now.
Amen.
And that's with Jesus. Amen. I've laid up my treasures in heaven. But the most important thing is, I'm not done. I've made that covenant with my eyes. I made that covenant with myself that I wasn't going to defile myself. I was going to keep myself straight. I was going to serve the Lord. I don't know why He wants to use me, but He chose to. Well, the Bible says He chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So I qualify, amen. But the truth is, whatever He wants to do with us, the devil wants to destroy.
That's right.
And we can help the devil destroy ourselves by not making that covenant with our eyes, by looking too long at the wrong things, by getting your eyes off of Jesus like Peter did. We'll sink into this cesspool of the world.
That's right.
Real quick. The most important thing for us is to make sure that eye gate stays shut to the things that it shouldn't see. You know as well as I do, I've seen some things in this world. I think about the first time that I was over at Sharon's daddy's. I guess it's probably been 30 years ago, maybe. And they wanted to barbecue a hog. And they wanted to barbecue that hog, that whole hog. They had a grill big enough to put both sides, just slice him down the middle and open him up and lay him across and smoke the whole thing all weekend. And guess who they chose to gut him? I'd never done it before. I still got that picture in my mind, all them intestines falling out and and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, somebody's got to do that if you eat the pork, okay? So somebody's got to do it. It doesn't come to Publix like that, okay? And somebody's got to get it. But anyway, I still think about that every once in a while. We got a picture of it. Sharon was out there with the camera and got a picture of me next to that hog you was hanging up at the top of the trailer. But you know, sometimes we get pictures in our mind and we wish we'd never seen them. Because once they get in there, they're not like your computer. Well, they're basically like your computer because it's indelibly in your computer somewhere. You can't delete it. You might delete it on the surface, but deep down in the hard drive, it's still there. But how much nicer it would be if we didn't see those nasty things, those bad things that we have seen. I vividly remember as a 15-year-old boy, my sister and I, we were coming home from church on Sunday afternoon. She was driving, and it was a motorcycle. We were in the right-hand lane on Memorial Boulevard there in Lakeland. And a motorcycle goes by us. And the guy, it caught our attention because the guy had a button-down shirt, but it was unbuttoned and it was flying behind him like a cape. But a big old Oldsmobile pulled in front of that motorcycle. I watched that guy die. Hit the side of that big old Oldsmobile. I wouldn't want to see that again. I wish I could erase that from my memory. But I can't because it got in there. And when we let things get in our mind, through our eyes, sometimes it's music that goes in our ears. We can't get rid of it. The best thing for us to do is to make that covenant with our eyes. If we want to be the clean vessel that God can use, if we want to be something special in His service, what we've got to do is be real careful and make that covenant with our eyes. Because people are going to count on us. How many souls go to hell if we destroy the testimony of Bible Baptist Church? If I destroy my testimony, if you destroy yours, family members, all of a sudden they don't believe us anymore. Most important thing is to make sure that we make that covenant with our eyes. We don't get caught in the devil pulling us in to the forbidden fruits or the forbidden finances or the forbidden flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. Let the name of Jesus be glorified in the invitation. Lord, we thank you for these lessons that we can learn that we don't have to pay the price for. Lord, we ask you to do something mighty. Lord, we're asking you to do something in our midst that will help us make that covenant. Help us understand the things we should look to and the things we should not look to. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, let us look to Jesus. Not at this old nasty world. Move in the invitation as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.